You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Sometimes I just have people over and I say, you know, go on in there and wiggle for a while, chill out. That's what the room is for. And come back and join the party. I'm Pete Chwaba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. We are barreling through the week. This is the third location I've done this show from this week, Conrad. You realize that?
Yeah. Are you going to get crazy tomorrow night?
I'm a rambling man. I don't like to stay in one place too long. I don't know. Where would I do it from? Where would I go?
Go to the Waukesha Studios.
Take the road less traveled. Do we have Waukesha? I thought it was all WRJN now, right?
Oh, yeah. So go to Racine.
Go to Racine. Yeah, I'd love to go to Racine. I weekend there sometimes, so it wouldn't be that long of a stretch. You know, we got to have Stuart Waddles on the show.
Yeah.
He did very well in the poll, or not in the poll, in the brackets. Didn't he take like third place or something?
I think so.
And our own Amanda Nimmer came in second?
Yes. Yes, she did.
Good showing for N-E-W-I. Mm-hmm. I like that. Congrats to Amanda. And I think next year is my year, though. I'm going to crush it next year. I'm going to do a little more research next year because I really did nothing.
Yeah.
And I even lost interest. Like, I didn't even watch the Final Four. I was too wrapped up in movies and I just didn't care. Like, I mean, I typically would take great movies over that anyway. But like, if the Badgers were in the championship game, I'd watch that, obviously. But Houston and Florida, I don't have to rush back to my hotel for that, you know. I got a text from my friend Dave, who refuses to text the show. He said, I wouldn't change my name, David, but I would ask people to pronounce it David.
There you go.
Okay, that would make you more, I guess, eccentric. Okay, so I wanted to do this last week, but we ran out of time, and we just had so many great guests. Let's do this, Conrad. I clipped a bunch of Carla lines from Cheers. I've been on a Cheers kick lately. Love Rhea Perlman, and she's just so great, and especially the way she goes after Cliff. But it just in general, her wisecracks are so great. So do we have two clips? It's been over a week now.
I can't even,
three clips of. Let's hear some Carla from Cheers.
Joanne, the problem you're having is just a simple lack of understanding of the male of the species. See, man was not made to be monogamous. It's an artificial, unnatural phenomenon posed from without. See, the human male can never have enough women.
Or in your case, any.
Just you and me go back and talk to them.
Boy. Sure. Big guy wants some pointers now.
Sure, Sammy, I'll fill you in.
What a pathetic display. I'm ashamed God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
That's so great. PJ on the stream says, does anyone hang out at the Oshkosh studio? Why are you asking, PJ? Yes, there are tons of people there all the time, and there are Rottweilers there. So if you're thinking of knocking off the Oshkosh studio, PJ, don't even think about it. Yeah, there's people there from time to time. Right, Con? Have you been down there?
Mino and the mayor will actually be there tomorrow morning.
All right. Now you're laying out PJ's plans to when to hit the joint because now he knows not to do it tomorrow. Yeah. Let's hear some more. This is Rhea Perlman, very funny, playing the role of Carla from Cheers. Another clip.
Tell me something, Red. Are professional athletes better between the old Wamp Sutters than ordinary men?
I've had no experience with ordinary men.
Oh, me neither. But I'm trying to work my way up to one.
Believe me, athletes take their pants off one leg at a time just like anybody else.
They take off their pants?
And if you remember Carla's husband from Cheers, Nick, he's just like this grotesque guy who... it's just hard to explain. There are so many great episodes of Cheers where Nick comes back. In one episode, he comes back. He wants one of their kids. They have like five kids together. He has a new girlfriend. She can't have kids. So he wants one of his kids with Carla, even though he hasn't seen the kid like in 2 years. And then another one where he's down on his luck and the girlfriend that he was in love with left him. And he's doing odd jobs for Sam at Cheers. And he's trying to win Carla back until the other girl comes back and takes him back. Those are two of the best episodes of Cheers. Dan Hedaya, I think I'm saying his name correctly, plays Nick. And he's just hilarious. But he and Carla together are very funny. We have one more Carla clip. Let's play that one too, Conrad.
Okay, everybody! Carla's got the box. You can have anything you want. As long as it doesn't have ice, straws, cherries, olives, mixer, umbrellas, fruits, or flames. In order.
I need an old-fashioned, a Brandy Alexander, and a martini.
Three beers coming up.
Excuse me. I'm here in response to the ad in the newspaper about Mrs. Tortelli's children.
Oh, what, is she trying to sell them again?
What?
Never mind. Carla?
Yeah, what is it?
The lady here to see you.
Oh, yeah?
I'm Miss Gilder. We spoke earlier about your ad for a tutor.
Oh, yeah. Have a seat over there and we'll talk. I'm taking five.
Okay.
Here are my resume and references, Mrs. Tortelli. You will see that I teach all subjects. I have a great deal of experience. And if I may say so myself, I am very highly recommended by those for whom I've worked.
Forget that. Have you ever been in any major military skirmishes?
What?
Look, it's very important that I know that you can handle yourself. Would you stand up for a minute? Give me one.
Give you one what?
Your best shot. Right here. Cold cock me, honey.
Leave on.
Don't hold back. Wait, sir.
Let's go.
You don't really expect me to strike you.
$6 an hour. Wait, shot!
Carla from Cheers, ladies and gentlemen, our little tribute. We have also Josh Brolin, I think, had a birthday last week, and I found a clip from him where he's talking about acting. Conrad, I would love to play that before too much time goes by. So let's hear from Josh Brolin, one of my current favorite actors.
You know, it was frustrating because I would lose roles to people who I didn't think were necessarily really good actors. And we know now it's like, look, you know, bad actors can have great careers and great actors can have no careers. You know, that's the thing about our industry is you don't know. It can be a look, it can be a thing, it can be a vibe, or it can be a great technician or somebody like, you know, Anthony Hopkins, who gets Silence of the Lambs at 55 and has been struggling since then. And then he has a whole career from 55 to 80.
Yeah. He's a really good example.
You know, it's right. Just, he's amazing.
One of the great living actors. Right?
Literally one of the great living actors and was one of the great living actors before that. I remember somebody said to me in an interview, how does it feel to be doing A-plus work now when you were doing C-minus work? I was like, fuck you, man. Who said I was doing C-minus work? It may be perceived as a C-minus movie, but I was bringing an A-game to everything I could with whatever ability I had. I never kind of just phoned it in. I've never phoned it in.
Josh Brolin, if you have not seen No Country for Old Men, highly recommend it. The first thing I remember seeing Josh Brolin in was The Goonies. And he played kind of the older kid on the block. Older brother, actually. I think he was Mikey's older brother. And I thought he was great, even then. Have you seen The Goonies, Conrad?
Yes. I love that movie.
What about No Country for Old Men?
I haven't seen that, no.
Addicting movie. Phenomenal. Absolutely worth a look. So, all right. The other clip we had, this is one of my favorite actors. It was Christopher Walken's birthday. Was it his birthday or I don't even remember why I clipped this now because a whole week has gone by. But we have a clip of Christopher Walken. Is it the one from Annie Hall?
Yes. That is the one. Yep.
Okay. So this is Christopher Walken plays Diane Keaton's younger brother, Dwayne. Woody Allen, neurotic New Yorker, showing up in Wisconsin to meet his wholesome girlfriend's family. And Dwayne pulls Alfie, which is Woody Allen's name, into his room, and Woody Allen finds out kind of how nutty he is.
Can I confess something? I tell you this because as an artist, I think you'll understand. Sometimes when I'm driving on the road at night, I see two headlights coming toward me. Fast, I have this sudden impulse to turn the wheel quickly, head on into the oncoming car. I can anticipate the explosion, the sound of shattering glass, the flames rising out of the flowing gasoline.
Right. Well, I have to go now, Dwayne, because I'm due back on the planet Earth.
Don't let it be so long now.
No. And look up Uncle Brilli. Okay. Huh?
Oh, he is adorable.
Do you think adorable. So, really?
You're going to take them to the airport
now. No, Dwayne can. I haven't finished my drink.
Yes, Dwayne is. I'll be right. Just a second. I have to get the...
The best visual is right after Woody Allen finds out that he has a tendency to want to veer his car into the other lane, is the three of them going to the airport in a rainstorm on a highway and Dwayne driving. And the look on Woody Allen's face is absolute gold. PJ on the stream says, he's talking about the Oshkosh studio again. He says, I drive past it often and a friend of mine lives close by there. I get it, PJ. Easier to case the joint, right? Conrad, I hope this is all being recorded because I will make a citizen's arrest. Yep, PJ knows that. If he's a frequent listener of the show, I hope he understands that. Thanks for the text, PJ. Tomorrow night, we got a lot of good fun coming up on Nightlight the rest of the week. Tomorrow night, John and Gordy will be here from the WMDX morning show in Madison. They will be making the popcorn pick of the week tomorrow night. We'll get two for the price of one. Those guys are always fun. Radio legends. Can't wait to have them on the show. Max Blaska will be here talking about his Mental Health Warrior Film Festival. That'll be interesting. That's in Madison as well. And Logan Rogie will be here telling us what's going on with Discover Wisconsin, all the fun stuff coming up. And then on Friday, Sean Hannish will be joining us. He's the director of the movie Just a Bit Outside. I hung out with Sean a little bit at the Wisconsin Film Festival. He has streaming information. So if you haven't seen it in the theaters, this film took the film festival by storm, and now you're able to see it on streaming very shortly. Sean will fill us in tomorrow night. And if that's not enough, it's a bar band Friday night, tomorrow night with our pal Terry Barr. Coming up, some pre-recorded content with Rob Thomas. PJ says, funny, Pete. Thank you, PJ. Thanks for the text. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night as we get ever closer to warm weather, hopefully. Joining us now on the program is one of our Nightlight pals. He is here frequently, and we love hearing what he has to say about movies and TV. And tonight, we'll get his perspective on the Wisconsin Film Festival as well. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor, and a Madison-based film critic. Rob Thomas joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing good. A little tired. Film festival time. You're trying to work. I don't know. It is actually tiring to watch movies, which I don't understand why. But if you watch two or three in a row, it does kind of take it out of you.
Yeah. When I was there, I just got back last night. And you're right. It's like you're sitting there. And then there's also the socializing afterwards.
Sure.
Between films, then you're going to another venue. And you're right. It is funny how watching movies can make, or I'm just horribly out of shape. I don't know.
What happened to us, Pete?
Rob, it is, I just want to share with you that our question of the night deals with name change. It is National Change Your Name Day. If you couldn't go by Rob Thomas, and I think you have a fine name, it's very easy to remember, but I know you've had some conflict in your life because of another Rob Thomas. What would you change your name to?
Let's see. I mean, Danny Thomas comes to mind, but I guess that would be its own set of problems, although.
How about Ron Thomas?
If people don't hear my name, they always say Ron. They always say, oh, Ron, and oh, it's Rob. So that's a sore spot with me. I don't know.
You got a good name. I wouldn't mess up.
My middle name is Mike. Mike might be all right. Mike Thomas. I could. That's a good name. That's a trustworthy name. Yeah.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with the name Rob Thomas. I didn't mean to insinuate too much. We're just having some fun tonight with the question, so I thought I would ask. you're at the Wisconsin Film Festival. You've been there once again this year. Our paths did not cross, which made me very sad. But I trust you've been seeing some good stuff and meeting some fun people. How's it going so far?
It's been really good. It's an 8-day festival. It's sponsored by the UW's Communication Arts Department. So like the first half is on campus at a bunch of different venues, and then the second half is at the Monday through Thursdays at Great Theater, Flix Brewhouse, Madison, right. So it's really fun. I mean, there's been a lot of, I think they've had a really great turnout this year. Like every screening I've been to has been packed, and it's like just a wild mix of movies. Like in one day on Sunday, I introduced this really avant-garde sort of experimental dance film called The Sea, and then a couple hours later I saw Starship Troopers, which is that movie from the 90s where guys kill giant alien bugs. So it's like the gamut of cinema.
That's right. At Flix now, or are you planning to be there today or tomorrow?
I'm out here right now. I'm gonna catch a double feature here. Yeah,
Rob, do yourself a favor and order a Hazed on Radio IPA. That is the Nightlight inspired brew that brewmaster Dave Hansen put together at Flix. And we worked on it a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I tasted it the other night. And I'm not a beer aficionado by any chance, but I thought it was good. It's got kind of a passion fruity kind of flavor to it. And I really dug it. And I guess it's doing very well. So I'm happy about that too.
That sounds great. They do good beer there. They brew it on site, and it's definitely one of the perks. So I will definitely get myself a pint.
Do you like, where do you prefer to watch films? You're right. That's a state-of-the-art facility. Some of the venues downtown in the university area, I think, have a certain charm to them, and it's just so much fun to watch movies there because of that. But where do you prefer to watch? Do you have a favorite venue at the festival?
It does vary. Like the Cinematheque where I saw Starship Troopers is like, it's a relatively small venue. It's usually packed, but it's very fun that way. They had the filmmakers there, the screenwriter and a producer, and they were like, God, like 10 feet away from me while they were doing this Q&A, which was really fun. And then I'd never been to Music Hall. But it's like this really beautiful, I mean, they have music there, but really beautiful place to see a movie. So that was really fun. But Flix is really, I mean, you get burgers and beer delivered right to your table. That's a pretty good deal. You know, it's hard to turn that down.
Exactly. Let's talk about Starship Troopers. I have to say, I've never seen the film. I read a little bit about it in your Substack. Is that a masterpiece or is it not?
I think I've come around to it being a masterpiece. When it came out in 97, I think I was with the critical opinion with a lot of people, including Roger Ebert, that it was like a dumb sci-fi war movie with a lot of blood and nudity and just this empty-headed film. And what I missed, and a lot of people missed that time, is that it's also this really clever, funny satire about war movies and how they can be used as propaganda by the government. Like the screenwriter said, he was really inspired by the World War II movies that came out during the war that were like, you know, Johnny goes off to war and tells the audience to buy war bonds and all that kind of stuff. And so watching it now, like, it's really, like, it's still a blast to watch as an action movie, but it's also really smart and certainly it has only gotten more relevant as the years have gone on, I think, about, you know, how government can use mass media to kind of manipulate the public to their will. So I think this might have been the first time I actually saw it from start to finish, and I really loved it and really, I think, appreciated it.
That's fantastic. I want to ask you about that Q&A too. We've got a break for the news here, but
sure.
Stick with us, folks. Rob Thomas is here giving us a full report of the Wisconsin Film Festival, and we'll find out what else he's seen right after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwab in Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality.
Always shiny and happy when Rob Thomas is here. Welcome back to Nightlight. It's Pete Schwab. And I am joined right now by Rob Thomas, our good friend who is at the Wisconsin Film Festival out at Flix Brewhouse. Two more nights to go. You got tonight and tomorrow night. And then they wrap things up. It was such a fun weekend, Rob. In regard to the Q&A, we were talking about Starship Troopers. I said I've never seen it before. What insights did the producer and the writer offer filmgoers or viewers, I should say, to what that experience was like?
Well, it was really fun. There, the producer is John Davison, who's retired. The screenwriter is Ed Neumeier, who also did RoboCop, which is a very similar film where it's like an action movie, but has a lot more going on. And, you know, they were very entertaining because the movie Starship Troopers was basically a flop when it came out in 1997. Like, I think it got beat at the box office by a Mr. Bean movie. And so they sort of talked about how they made it and how people didn't seem to get it. And then just kind of how I think probably because of the, you know, VHS and DVD, people started rewatching it or seeing it for the first time and being like, oh, there's a lot more going on here than just, you know, bugs ripping guys limb from limb, which is, to be fair, a lot of the movie. It's extremely violent. And so it was interesting to hear them talk about it and, like, and just tell stories like the studio heads didn't get it and all the problems they had and how it was this movie. You know, it's really a throwback to the 90s where, you know, the spaceships in it are all models, which they don't do anymore. Obviously, it's all CGI and so that was really fun to hear. So it was a really, really fun Q&A, and the audience was packed with people who loved the movie, obviously.
That's great. And leave it to those guys, the programmers of the Wisconsin Film Festival, to find great gems like that, or to find something that maybe wasn't appreciated when it first came out, and then re-release it to people with a new perspective. And it helps to have the Q&A there, a writer and a producer. That's the joy of film festivals, but in particular, the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Yeah, they do a really good job of these classic screenings. And I think tomorrow night they're showing like these films from the 50s, like It Came from Outer Space, and they're in 3D, the audience will get 3D glasses. So, I mean, that's just, you know, it's not like a Cannes or a Sundance where I think it's a little snootier and it's about all, you know, I mean, there's a lot of new films here, but there's always that thing where it's like, you know, we're all here because we love movies and we love all kinds of movies. And, you know, I think they want to have something for literally everybody.
Absolutely. So what else have you seen, Rob, at the film festival? It sounds like you've been pretty active.
Yeah, I saw this, this great documentary about marriage called Two Strangers Trying to Not to Kill Each Other, which is the best title of the festival in my mind.
It's great. Yeah.
And it's this couple. This the husband is 84. He's a famous photographer. The wife is 75. She's sort of a failed writer. And it's such an intimate look at their marriage and like how they're growing old together and they're very much in love. But there's also these, you know, these long simmering resentments, especially from the wife, who I think is, you know, has sort of lived in the husband's shadow. And it was incredible. Like, I think somebody told me it might be on public television later this year. And definitely check. It's one of my favorites of the year. I think that was fantastic. And then I did see No Packers, No Life. I don't know if you saw that one.
I interviewed that filmmaker on Director's Cut, but I had a conflicting, I had to introduce a film and I couldn't make it back to the Barrymore, but he said it went great.
Yeah, it was a rocking screening. I mean, it was full of Packers fans and he got a Go Pack Go call and response. It's a pretty simple story about this group of Japanese Packers fans and this guy who brings them over to Lambeau to see a game and kind of fulfill their fan dream. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a pretty simple thing, but it was a very fun screening. And, you know, I'm not sure where that film will pop up, I assume. But you know, I mean, the other thing about the festival is they really champion Wisconsin filmmakers. There's always, you know, room on the program for films like that. So that was fun.
That is one I was unable to see. And I did. I also interviewed on PBS John Roach, who made A Road at Night. So I got a sneak preview at that. But I saw John at one of the parties later, and he said that the screening was incredible. Did you happen to be there?
I missed that one, but I heard somebody said it was, you mean the A Road at Night screening?
Yeah, about Howard Moore, the Badger, who was in the terrible accident.
Yeah, no, I talked to somebody who was there and said it was very powerful, very emotional, both, you know, I think Howard's son was there, if I'm not mistaken, and of course, John Roach, and I heard it was a really powerful screening, again, with a local connection.
Yeah, it's I think comedy is certainly something that you want to watch with a crowd, but also something like that can be cathartic. At least that's what it sounded like, because I watched it by myself, and it's just not the same experience.
Right.
You saw Milk Punch, Rob. Tell us about Milk Punch. I read about that. It has a connection. Its history has roots in Madison. What was that like?
Very much. And I didn't get to see it. It was sold out, the initial screening here at the festival. But if you're in Madison, they're going to screen it again at the Bartell Theater this Friday. But so Milk Punch, and I wrote, it's fun because I wrote about it when I first came to Madison in 2000. It was like this, indie comedy about this guy, these two guys get their car stolen or driving all around Madison to get it back. And it's fun because it's really a time capsule of Madison back then. The city has changed so much. And you see places like Ella's Deli and that uniform shop that used to be in the Shank Atwoods, like all these locations that, O'Kay's Corral, which burned down in 2001, like all these landmarks that people remember that are gone now. They go to the famed Le Tigre Lounge, which is luckily still here and hasn't changed a bit. But the filmmaker restored it for its 25th anniversary. And brought back a lot of the cast and the crew and talked about it. A really sort of scrappy, independent film. So if people are in town Friday, I definitely recommend going to see it. And again, a lot of the cast and crew will be there at that screening. But that's fun. Like, actually, he preserved like the press kit from 2000, and I saw my own quote in there from the review I wrote in 2000, which was kind of fun.
Oh, that's fantastic. My bad. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I thought for some reason when I was looking at your article that you had seen that film. So, but that was a good, at least
it,
a history lesson and something
ago,
to look.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I saw in your article, you're friends with James Creel. I don't know how to say his last name.
Kroll.
Yeah. Love that guy. We sat next to each other at a W.C. Fields film at Cinematheque at the festival about 5 years ago, and we were laughing hysterically together. He's kind of a cinephile, huh?
Well, he's a huge cinephile. He has his own Substack, which is great. And he brings a lot of like experimental films to town, which is great because it's like they play at the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art and Arts and Lit Lab, and really like the most challenging films that play in Madison, usually Jim has a hand in it. So it's really great. And yeah, he's all over the festival here this year. I've seen him a couple times already.
That's so cool. What else did you see, Rob, at the festival?
I saw Shanghai Blues, which was this Hong Kong comedy from like 1984. It was kind of like a farce where it's like, you know, mixed up identities, and it was really fun to watch. Nice. And I introed this movie called The Sea, which was made by a UW filmmaker, sort of a really interesting kind of like part movie, part dance performance piece. And that's about it. I've got a couple tonight and then a couple tomorrow night. So I think I'll have seen 10 when all is said is done, which is pretty good. Back in the day, I would hit like 4 a day and be absolutely exhausted, but I don't think I have the stamina anymore.
I think my two favorite things I saw, well, it was fun. I hosted a Meet the Parents Q&A with Greg Liana on Saturday at the Barrymore. But then I saw a movie called The Threesome at the Barrymore, which I've been talking about incessantly. Maybe the best romantic comedy I've ever seen. Just a really solid script and executed well, well-directed, great music, great acting. Zoe Deutsch is the lead. Highly recommend that one. And then I don't know if you're familiar with the Rolling Stones documentary they played at the Barrymore on Saturday night.
Oh, what's that? Oh, Pete, what's that called?
The Blank Blankety Blues, yeah, for I lack heard. Of. But you know, and that one to me, I know they were excited to have it. Not a great documentary, but really neat snapshots of the Stones and what their life was like. You know, just great stuff at the Wisconsin Film Festival this year, as always. My guest is Rob Thomas. He's the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and a Madison-based film critic. We're talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival. Rob, Milwaukee's Film Festival is right around the corner. Will you spend time there?
I'd like to. I was looking at my buddy Matt Mueller, who I know is on the show quite a bit.
Yeah.
Dropped the schedule on his Substack, and boy, there is a ton of stuff. I don't even know where to begin. And that's a 15-day festival, like twice as long as the Madison Festival? And like just incredible. So much stuff. And so I like to try and pick my shots and find a day and head out there and catch, you know, at least 2 or 3 movies in a row. So I'll have to plan on that.
They've got that beautiful Oriental Theater. Like, you know, Madison has such great venues too. The Barrymore is fantastic. And I would say that like the Oriental Theater is kind of Milwaukee's Barrymore. They're different, but that old historic, just great venues to watch a film in.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really a jewel, and they restored it a few years ago and has 3 theaters, but that big main theater is just astonishing. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other stuff you've seen. You're ahead of me. I did see Last Breath on your recommendation. Just wow. What an intense film.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's on VOD now, or if not, I think it is. Yeah. People could rent it at home, but I the true story of this incredible undersea rescue when this diver got trapped while trying to repair like undersea pipeline, and based on a true story made by a guy who made the documentary about it. So it's very, I mean, just the idea of these guys doing this work is fascinating enough. Like how they go that far down under the ocean and then to see it all go wrong and how they save this guy. No spoilers, but it's pretty incredible. So I'm glad you
liked it. Yeah, and it's a spoiler, but it's not. I mean, I kind of knew he was saved going into it, but it's what he goes through and the miracle of how he was saved. And despite what happened and how long he went without oxygen, it's fascinating. And the other thing I noticed, Rob, about the film, which I kind of liked, no bad guys. Like, it was just everybody kind of angling towards the same goal. It just made it riveting.
Yeah, remind me, I think I compared it to Apollo 13 in my review in the sense that it was like, you know, like you said, there's no villain. There's no like greedy billionaire saying, you know, let him go or whatever. It's like guys on the ship, guys on the divers, the guy trapped, and everybody trying to do their part to get him back. So, yeah, highly recommended.
Really fun. Woody Harrelson and the guy from Animal Kingdom. I can never remember his name. So we'll have a couple more minutes with Rob. Rob, I also want to say, you know, at the Wisconsin Film Festival, I went to see part of Erica, which is a Russ Meyer film. And I had never seen a Russ Meyer film, but it's so campy and so bad. I have to say, the novelty wore off after about 40 minutes. And despite nudity and bad acting, I had to get out of there.
I think it was called like Faster Pussycat. Kill.
Oh, yeah.
Like the name of the movie. I've seen that. I think I saw it maybe at the festival or like the Cinematheque, which is sort of connected to it. And
yeah,
as quality goes, I wouldn't recommend it, but it's definitely an artifact of its time. Yeah,
for sure. All right, Rob Thomas is with us. He's a Madison-based film critic. We'll have a couple more minutes with Rob after this very short break. Don't go anywhere. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere. Thought I was late.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, John and Gordy from the WDMX morning show in Madison will be here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Those guys are always so much fun to have on the show and just good all around dudes. They will be here. And then Max Blaska will be here to talk about his film festival, which focuses on mental health. And Conrad, who else? We got Logan Rogge from Travel Wisconsin. He'll be joining the program as well to tell you what is coming up and what you should look forward to here in the state of Wisconsin in the next month or so. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our friend Rob Thomas. We were talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival and the movie Last Breath. Rob, I want to ask you about one more movie, and then I have another question for you based on an article I saw in CityCast Madison newsletter, which is fast becoming one of my favorite reads.
Thanks.
You're welcome. It's just always interesting stuff, and I like the way you guys frame things. Like, it was the best restaurants in strip malls. You know, it's just a fun kind of take on things, but let's talk about Black Bag. I mentioned that I hosted the Meet the Parents Q&A. I found out that David Koepp was there, who's written tons of movies and works with Steven Soderbergh. And Steven Soderbergh is one of the reasons Meet the Parents ended up at Universal. So I found that interesting and just kind of a weird coincidence. But he wrote Black Bag, David Koepp. So what did you think of that? I still have not seen it.
I loved it. David Koepp, UW graduate, and he wrote like the original Jurassic Park, and I think he wrote the new one, and just, you know, really prolific and writes all kinds of movies, big and small. And Black Bag was right up my alley. It's a British spy movie, but much more like John le Carré than James Bond, and Michael Fassbender and Cate Blanchett, great cast, play married British spies, and Fassbender gets wind that his wife might be a traitor and starts kind of investigating her without her knowing, and then things get very complicated and there's lots of double crosses and what's going on. It's, you know, fantastic dialogue, great acting, extremely stylish, and like not much action, but very much like, you know, a battle of wits. And I highly recommend. I think that is also already out on VOD as to rent or buy, as well as still in theaters. I think it's still in theaters after a couple of weeks. It's like another great thing. It's like a 90-minute movie. You're in and you're out. So
love that.
I love that.
Yeah, same. I'll have to check that out. I love Steven Soderbergh as a director. And when I first saw that coming out, also, I read about that, like the husband and the wife thing. And it begged the question, at least within me, would my wife really try to kill me? Or can we work this out? Like, I don't, without knowing the details, I kind of feel like your home life trumps the spy world, but not with these people. They could be pretty ruthless.
Yes, yes. And that is a central question, is like, how far can you trust your spouse? And I definitely won't reveal it, but it's really fun to watch. Yeah.
Very cool. So, another thing, Rob, I know you didn't write this article, but I figure since you're the editor of the newsletter, someone wrote an article called "Will Wisconsin Ever Legalize Weed?" What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. We're sort of, I think the article says we're an island of prohibition with Minnesota and Illinois and Michigan all legalizing it. And the article, and it's so convoluted here right now, what's legal and what isn't. And, you know, and so I thought that was, yeah, Haley wrote that, my boss, she's an executive producer of CityCast, and a good way to try and untangle, like, what's actually, you know, available and whether that will ever change. It seems like, I think the governor put something in his budget, you know, sort of moving towards that, but it doesn't seem to be getting much support from the legislature. So we'll see.
It's just getting weird.
Yeah. You know, right.
One more quick question for you. I've heard nothing, but we've got about a minute left. Gotham Bagels. I've heard those are the best. What are your favorite bagels in Madison? This was also in CityCast. Check it out.
Yeah, first. I wrote a list of the best bagels. I love Gotham, their sandwiches. And then there's a place, Mermaid Kitchen, where you kind of pre-order them, and I've gotten those, and those are really good. I mean, I don't pretend to be like a bagel connoisseur. Like, I didn't grow up in New York or Montreal, where allegedly the best bagels in the world are. But those two, I think, are the ones people should try for sure.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, great stuff as always, Rob. Go watch your movies. Listen, get yourself a Hazed on Radio beer. Put it on my tab. I don't think I have a tab, but no, I wish I just like to pretend I'm a big shot. So, have a great time at the movies, buddy. Keep up the great work, and let's talk again soon.
Definitely. Thanks, Pete.
All right. You got it, Rob. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work at CityCast Madison, a great publication. Rob is the newsletter editor, writes great articles. Also, check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas Substack. Always fun to hear Rob's opinions. Conrad, are you ready for John and Gordy tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah. They're going to bring it.
I'm a little intimidated, I have to be honest. They bring, 40, 50, 60, 200 years of radio experience. These guys, they bring their A game. They're fun. They're smart. I'm a little nervous, but I think we'll get through it.
Yeah, I think they're going to bring some good recommendations.
I think so, too. And it's nice that they'll both be there because we get two for the price of one. We'll get two popcorn picks. We'll talk about a film festival in Madison that addresses mental health with a lot of its movies and with the festival as a whole, which will be fun. And then our pal Logan Rogie will join us too. And we will find out what's going on in Wisconsin. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much to Rob Thomas. Thank you to Tim Schweigel. And have a great night, everybody. Thanks for your texts. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.